Good evening, and thank you very much for this kind invitation. Thanks goes to HKW, the entire team, and Antje Immann. It's wonderful to be here and to share our notions, our ideas, express what we think about Harun, his craft, our relation to him. And I think last but not least, we should also express our gratitude to Michael Baute, because he did a brilliant job in facilitating the entire afternoon and the entire sessions. Our presentation is entitled Work on Nature, the Wood as a Dark Room, the Clearing as a Stage. First of all, a forest, that can be actually, the wood can also be incredibly gruesome, like an ugly face. Fact and fiction become indistinguishable. They intermingle the old pine trees, bow their heads in dreams, the big elms whose winding branches bring forth hundreds of bends and undulating corners. And in this dark mass, which the wind hardly ruffles, nothing is entirely dead, but nothing is entirely alive either. By the way, this is taken from Sentimental Education by Victor Hugo. In the context with one screening, which was held for colleagues of the film My Never-Ending Burial Plot, which we realized in 2010, we had a discussion afterwards with Harun about different ways in which you can film and take images of nature. Back then, Harun criticized us because we had just taken the wrong filmic shots of nature, and we didn't really understand what he meant by this to this very day. The film Class Relations by Jean-Marie Straub and Jean-Daniel Huillier, which dates back to the 1984, based on the novel The Missing Person by Franz Kafka, and where Harun himself is an actor, by the way, he's called de la Marche, was mentioned as an example of a very successful mise en scène of nature. Harun documented the creation of Class Relations under the title Jean-Marie Straub and Jean-Daniel Huillier at work on a film. Sorry, it's not working. Why doesn't it work? It's not my fault. I think we need to press here. So, this is a discussion which was just kicked off, and we took this as an occasion to look at this topic in greater depth and to ask ourselves the question in how far nature was depicted in a different way in Class Relations than in My Never-Ending Burial Plot. And we take this as an occasion to talk about Harun's attitude to nature and the depiction of it, and take the whole thing one step further. The presentation of nature in the filmic images is a recurrent theme at Harun Farrokhi. And his artistic endeavors with the image and concept of nature was even pervasive in one of his final works, which was mentioned on various occasions today, Parallel 1-4. And it deals with the promise of the theoretical infinite possibilities of digital simulation of the nature, and with these promises of a concrete aesthetic realization meets still boundaries. In his Parallels 1-4, Harun illustrates that it was right from the word go the depiction of nature, natural models, where the new technology cut its digital teeth of digital simulation. And the first typical sujets, Lorenz Engel writes, were, for instance, waves hitting the shore, which were shot, or waving of the trees in the wind, or the passing of pedestrians on the boulevard. And like Jean Epstein also depicted the nature, the wide sea of the Brittany, storms and towering threatening cloud formations and turning them into protagonists of many of his films. But before the nature as the subject in the filmic and afterwards in the numeric motion pictures came to a second life, first of all, a question had to be clarified. What kind of relationship was the landscape and the camera supposed to have? First of all, it was about the actual possibility of depicting nature. Even photography requires a so-called dramatic pose of nature. And just some time later, with the filmic depictions of nature, time and motion become the metrics for the representation of the latter. Gustave Le Gray, The Forest as a Dark Room. Together with the painters in 1849 or 1850, someone else enters the forest of Fontainebleau. Gustave Legris enters it alone with his camera and a tripod and not with his easel. His photographs show clearly that he preferred the edges of forest to its depth, well-traveled roads or busy vista points to deserted solitude. This forest that becomes a studio, or that always was a studio, and that latter with Carnet will be resurrected in the studio as something that is half dead, half alive, or not dead or not alive, as Flaubert writes. This forest, writes Bernard Mabot, seems like a giant dark room similar to Athanasius Kirchner's The Camera Obscura. The mental effort that he is willing to make upon entering the forest in order to learn its mysteries and adopt its rituals grows easier, given that shadow and light interpenetrate each other there as powerfully as in the process as obtaining a proof. From taking the shot to the final print, with his heavy equipment, the Grey gets lost in the high forest of Fontainebleau. It is there where shadow and light are interpenetrating. It is there where he penetrates the brushwood. And it is there where Le Grey meets a talking bird that reveals to him the secrets of the forest and of photography. In the twilight, the photographic plate and the image of the forest imprinted on it transform it into gold right in front of his very eyes. Le Grey comprehends the infinite potentials of the apparatus that he drags along. He also comprehends, writes Mabot, that he's at the beginning of something that will survive his own lifespan. Now he looks at his apparatus with a new gaze. It has become an instrument, the apparatus, but Le Grey himself as well. Generators of a movement that roams the incommensurate space of the subject of the image. Stratégie de capture, a forest of experience, the capture range of a future. The forest. The forest discloses itself to the camera's gaze as a different location as the other studio, real and fictitious at the same time, open instead of closed, an unsheltered space that therefore cannot offer any shelter to anyone. What about the future? Here, a future doesn't exist, a future to be divined or dreaded. The forest is displaced from time. Many things can pass in the forest, but not time, because time ends at the edge of the forest, and with time the story ends there as well. That's why in the depth of the forest one dances on a clearing in circles outside of the story, outside of history, and inside of a loop of a present that cannot end, in other words, without history. So nature in film never depicts just the neutral reality. Instead, it is a milieu or backdrop to a scene, and it creates the mood of the latter, underpins it, accompanies this mood. It is the attitude which creates the reality and arranges it for the view of the observer. And the soul of nature for us, is what Billy Balazs writes, is only the soul of the observers, because the latter is reflected in the previous. In the narrative film, nature always is portrayed as a proxy to the characters. Nature only comes into being by the characters in the filmic space. Right from the beginning, the film depicts nature as not immediate or intermediated, as natural, but as a landscape which turns, which only comes into being by the panning view of the camera. And there's a frequently quoted theory of the author André Jarret. And he says that the landscape is just a backdrop. A landscape can be a soul landscape, or it can be the nemesis, or it can be part of a discursive narrative strategy. The depiction of the clearing takes on a special meaning amongst all possible filmic natures. It is a setting, a backdrop, a stage. The clearing only creates the preconditions for the filmic forest, and it is a subgenre of the forest. At the same time, it is a subgenre of nature itself. It creates a central setting, a central stage. Now, class relations opens up a new chapter in Straub-Ouillet's work. We could call it clearing film, and it includes works such as The Death of Empedocles, Operae, Contadini, Umiliati, and many of the films which are based on Cesare Pavese. The clearing becomes a theater space, an amphitheater without architecture. You no longer have any landscape, no panoramic central perspective views to a wide open space dominated by gods or rulers, but all you have is the wood, the forest, and its depth, a depth without end, an infinite depth, an image depth. The clearing firm turns the clearing into a stage. It turns it into the deep space. This is where what Victor Hugo says, fact and fiction become undistinguishable, and the clearing becomes a symbol of the structure, symbolic order. It is a location which has fallen out of the symbolic meaning, like Karl Rossmann in Class Relations, or the figures Julian Nana and Harry in our joint film, Meine Way Ending, Burial Plot, which dates back to 2010.
Just can stand nature. In many ways, my never-ending burial plot is about nature. In this clearing movie, three characters that have been estranged from their narrative and time try to put an end to their life in a forest clearing. One of these protagonists, Julian, used to be Juliana and has undergone a sex change, thereby having intervened directly with nature. That's what you get when you treat nature the way you did, says Nana to him on one occasion. The phrase, I just can't stand nature, is stated three times throughout the film and thus is used as a dramaturgical hinge which in each of the three acts points to a narrative twist. At the heart of the plot, there is the question of self-determination versus heteronomy. Julian rejects the natural order of things and insists on a logic of one's free will. The clearing where everything is happening is a stage and a metaphor for the nature of the story and also the story of nature. So we are going to see the first clip. There's not going to be any translation with these sequences.
Hush! Irgendwas stinkt hier. Da drüben. Der Natur einfach nicht aussetzen.
Naja, das kommt davon, wenn man mit der Natur so rumpfuscht wie du.
Die Natur, die hat einfach ihren Job bei mir nicht gut genug gemacht. Da musste ich selber ran nachhelfen.
Nimmst du eigentlich noch deine Hormone?
Ja, das könnte dir auch nicht schaden. Du hast keine Ahnung, worum es hier geht. Du respektierst mich einfach nicht. Was diese Gutachten alleine gekostet haben, das kannst du dir nicht vorstellen. Die ganze Gage von meinem letzten Film ist dabei draufgegangen. Kannst du dir vorstellen, dass auf meiner Steuerkarte immer noch Frau steht, Frau Julian? Wie sieht das aus auf einer Steuerkarte? Frau Julian, ich habe das gesetzlich verbriefte Recht, als Herr angesprochen zu werden. Frau Julian auf einer Steuerkarte. Kein Wunder, dass ich keinen Job mehr kriege und mich in diesem Drecksloch wälzen muss, das den ontologischen Bau der Realität infrage stellt. Ich meine, wenn Herr Graf von Zottelberg zur Frau wird, dann steht auf seiner Steuerkarte ja auch nicht Herr Karin Graf von Zottelberg, dann steht da Frau Karin Gräfin von Zottelberg.
Pizza?
Ist doch egal. Wann dauert denn die Pause noch?
360 Jahre. Weißt du doch.
Thank you. So my never-ending burial plot was shot in the summer of 2009 on Sternhagen Farm in Uckermark in a woodland park landscaped by Peter Joseph Linné in the early 19th century, which has now run wild. So it is definitely a park that also sees a former goldfish pond, which today is nothing but a mud puddle, which dries up in summertime, and planted on its banks have been weeping willows. But they are weeping in a messy way now and in winter when the pond has again filled with water. Some of them are covered by mud up to their treetops. So it is a former park which now presents itself as a forest. It represents nature's attempt to reconquer itself. So this overgrown park forest is not at all scary anymore. I cannot find the photograph. In my never-ending burial plot, keys are constantly lost and sometimes found again. The key to the clinic, to one's recollection, or to the car, the key with which one might be able to escape, after all, from the clearing or the prison of fiction. In Klassenverhältnisse, it is not the keys that are lost, but a photograph which has disappeared deep inside the forest. When on a clearing, there is Karl Rosmatt's suitcase from which the picture of his parents has been stolen, a film in search of a picture, a young man in search of his story. The forest becomes the dark room where the photo does not become visible during the process of development, but disappears through an inversion of the process. And the clearing becomes a stage in the dark room of the forest.
Steht auf! Ihr schlaft und inzwischen waren Diebe da.
Fehlt denn etwas?
Ich weiß nicht, aber der Koffer ist offen.
Sie dürfen eben nächstens nicht so lange fortbleiben. Wir haben Hunger gehabt, haben gedacht, dass Sie in Ihrem Koffer etwas zum Essen haben konnten und haben das Schloss so lange gekitzelt, bis es sich aufgemacht hat.
So. Wenn Sie noch essen wollen, dann beeilen Sie sich.
Der scheint Launen zu haben.
Ich habe keine Launen, aber ich werde im Hotel übernachten. Und gehe nicht nach Butterford. Essen Sie rasch auf, ich muss den Korb zurückgeben.
Siehst du, Robinson, wir haben ihm unser Vertrauen geschenkt, haben ihn einen ganzen Tag mit uns geschleppt, haben dadurch zumindest einen halben Tag verloren. Und jetzt, weil ihn dort im Hotel irgendjemand gelockt hat, verabschiedet sich einfach. Aber weil er ein falscher Deutscher ist, tut er dies nicht offen, sondern sucht sich den Vorwand mit dem Koffer. Was für eine Fotografie?
Die Fotografie meiner Eltern.
Wir haben keine Fotografie gesehen.
Es war keine Fotografie drin, Herr Rossmann.
Aber das ist doch unmöglich. Sie lag oben auf. Und jetzt ist sie weg. Wenn Sie doch lieber den Spaß mit dem Koffer nicht gemacht hätten.
Jeder Irrtum ist ausgeschlossen. In dem Koffer war keine Fotografie.
Sie war mir wichtiger als alles, was ich sonst im Koffer habe. Sie ist nämlich unersetzlich. Ich bekomme keine zweite. Es war das einzige Bild, das ich von meinen Eltern besaß.
Vielleicht könnten wir noch die Taschen der Herren untersuchen.
Es hilft nicht. Sie haben wahrscheinlich die Fotografie zerrissen und die Stücke weggeworfen. Ich dachte, Sie wären meine Freunde, aber im Geheimen. Wollten Sie mir nur schaden? Hören Sie einmal. Sollte doch einer von Ihnen die Fotografie noch haben und mir ins Hotel bringen wollen. Er bekommt den ganzen gefüllten Koffer und wird, ich schwöre es, nicht angezeigt.
Diese Szene?
This scene was shot in the dark, at night, and artificial lighting was used here. Nature is presented as fiction, it becomes a theatrical space. The open suitcase lies on grass, and two workers lie lazily on the ground, as if providing a dark version of Le Déjeuner sur l'herbe by Manet. One of them is Haroun, or Delamarche, when Karl Rossmann appears. Nature is orchestrated as an anti-locus, a flexible structure in terms of society without any social hierarchy, or the other way around. Here, nature becomes a stage where social hierarchies are exposed as construction. In the cinematic universe, nature is symbolically charged. Karl Rossmann stands beside a tree as if he had never stood anywhere else. It almost seems as if man and tree would be equally rooted in the earth. Then, a food basket is handed over to the hungry workers in an awkward manner, followed by the complaint about the stolen picture, proof of belonging to a particular class and a relic of an identity which Rossmann has been robbed of here on this ahistorical clearing. Straub and Huillier show Rossmann as somebody who does not belong there because he sticks to his being member of a particular class. Therefore, he will not stay at the clearing for the night, but return to the hotel instead. So, what does it mean to really shoot nature in a proper manner? In my never-ending burial plot, nature is more of an annoyance, a disturbance, a permanent obstacle that must be overcome. While nature still tries to roar like a lion, or is it the roar of a dinosaur, it has become toothless because, after all, people have hormones to change their gender identity and a car to leave the prison of the narrative. We filmed the scene on the clearing in daylight when the sun was in competition with the shade of the trees and their leaves. Consequently, contrast values were too high, much too high for digital cinematic technology. The use of a rather long focal length taught us that nature filmed with short focal length can be captured much better. A picture taken by a telephoto lens lacks complexity. The image turns into a flat wallpaper. The harsh daylight during the scene emphasizes naturalist kind of representation and robs nature of its poetic character. It becomes concrete, almost despicable. The concomitant disenchantment reflects the core of our story. The gong sounds, the characters and the camera exit the game, and Julian complains about what nature has done to him. The aesthetic design aims at the exact opposite of aesthetic valorization, namely a devalorization. Nature is not depicted as something that is of transhistorical essence. Also, any kind of formally staged beauty would undermine the criticism expressed by the deconstructed narrative. And so, we would actually tell Haroun that actually there are commonalities to these scenes, more than we have seen before, maybe. Both films are about dropouts. Both Karl Rossmann and Julian want to get out of their assigned identities. Julian from his sex, his role and the story. Karl Rossmann from his class, his origin. And both films try using a form of alienation to expose the act of speaking itself and the construction of the cinematic context. So we can also say that Klassenverhältnisse and the other film try to use theater in order to expose the act of speaking itself, the construction of the cinematic context. So in Kino 2, Das Zeitbild, Gilles Deleuze writes about Straub Ye films, that people would talk there into the ground in an empty space. This room does not make things visible, but makes it possible to read their archaeological features and their stratigraphic density. It shows how much work and sacrifices went into tilling a field to have it bear fruit. The French author Damien Maguet writes on the first setting of Auton by Straub Ye. The shot depicts a small hill inside the park. This produces a vertical movement from the bottom up to the overhanging branches of a large tree, then from top to bottom to a hole in the ground. This arabesque ends with a zoom on a chasm, followed by the opening credits. The tragedy of Corneille, which had its last performance at Comédie Française in 1708, is indeed creeping out of a black hole. Moreover, this opening in the ground depicts the specific location of another remembrance, that is, of the resistance fighters who used such holes during the war as arms cache. In the scenes shown, nature is represented in many different ways, and yet it turns out that they are interconnected at a deeper level, and this subliminal connection is maybe what prompted Harun to launch a comparison of our film and Klassenverhältnisse. So indeed, it seems that there is a literal and profound connection above ground and underground. In my never-ending burial plot, the individuals do not only dig their own graves, the hole on the ahistorical clearing, but they also dig in the dirt, hoping that they might find meaning or symbolic tools and weapons in the subsoil, which they can apply to examine or change the linkages. But what they actually find is always garbage, just garbage. It is not least due to Harun's work that these discursive tools and weapons are offered to everyone who may direct their gaze away from the hall and away from the clearing itself. In the finite nature of the computer game studied by Harun in Parallel 1-4, the wireframe model of the forest goes nowhere. It's a stage, and stepping beyond that edge, the figures fall from their world. They have no tools, no concepts, or, as we've heard before, fiction and reality are indistinguishable. But the world, as it appeared in so many different beautiful, funny, and cryptic ways in Harun's world, well, the world, as explained by him, that world does not end. This world does not end, but it has changed now.